Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to look at just a few verses there. And beginning in verse 28, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And we'll stop reading right there. Before we get into this, I'd like to ask a question, and nobody has to say anything aloud or raise your hands, but have you ever been tired? Have you ever been weary? Have you ever been heartbroken? Have you ever shed tears? Have you ever shed silent tears that nobody has known about? And the answer is yes. And because that's the condition of man. There's nobody going through this life without experiencing some of the painfulness associated with living in this world. And God, I think, is speaking to each one of us today. I'm sure there's something in these verses that He can use for each one of us. And we're going to take a look. And the first thing we're going to look at is in verse 28. Notice how God is asking the question, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God," first of all, He's telling us He is eternal God. He is from eternity past. And He goes on, "the Creator of the ends of the earth." And this God, He created the world. He created the universe. And we have an account in the Bible how He did this on the 6 days of creation. He spoke, and the whole universe came into being, and the earth was populated with animals. He created man from the dust of the ground and so forth, and the mighty mountains and the tremendous seas of the world were formed. And God just says, "Have you not known that this everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" That's a characteristic of God. He does not faint, nor does He get weary. Now, we can't understand that. We can't understand that because even the strongest of men, and of course we got to go to the young men, we got to go to those in their prime, in their teens, in their 20s and early 30s. You know, those men who are in the prime of health and the prime of life, and they have the strength in their legs. They love to run. They love to run because they can feel the power in them. And yet, even if you were to look at the fastest man on earth who could run the 100-yard dash in the fastest speed, did you ever watch a race? And he's taken off, and you can see how he's exerting himself and full of energy. And when he breaks through the tape, they fall down. They fall down for a few seconds, for a couple of minutes. He had enormous strength, and then he got tired, and then he got weary. And that's how it is with the greatest of man's strength. Yes, we can accomplish some things for a short period of time, for just a little while, or you have the weightlifter. Did you ever watch the men lifting weights in the Olympics, and they're going to try a weight no man has ever lifted before, and they're preparing themselves, and they're going to lift that bar over. Well, I don't even think they have to lift it over their heads. They just have to lift it off the ground to a certain point, and then they drop it back down, and they're exhausted. They're exhausted. It took everything out of them. You see, that's the nature of man. We have very limited strength, extremely limited strength. And our strength is nothing, of course, in comparison to God's strength. And so it's an amazing thing, it's an incredible thing, that God says, the Creator of the ends of the earth faineth not, neither is weary. So God created the world. And whoa, how much more power was demonstrated in Him simply speaking a word and forming the universe than all the power of man that we could witness. And yet, after creating this vast expanse, this incredible universe with all the stars, with all the galaxies, with all the planets, and this incredible universe, God created all, and He rested, but He didn't rest because He was tired. He didn't rest because He was weary. He rested to make a biblical point, to teach us that we must find our rest in the Lord Jesus Christ as far as salvation goes. But the Lord is not, He does not grow tired or weary. He could have gone out and created another universe, and after that another universe, and after that another universe. You see, it's unlimited power. He has no limitations. He is infinite in His strength, in His might, in His power, and it never has ups and downs. There's no raisings and fallings like us. One day we feel strong, the next day we feel weak. But God is constant. He is continual. He is the everlasting God, full of might and power and strength. And that's what God is telling us here. He's telling us, and He's speaking to us, and He knows our limitations. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failings, and He's talking to each one of us as He tells us about Himself. And then we have to think just for a second about this power of God. God does display His power in certain aspects of His salvation plan. He displays it as far as His wrath is concerned. For instance, in Exodus chapter 9, in Exodus 9, it says in verse 15 and 16, "For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence." And God is speaking to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. "And thou shalt be cut off from the earth, and in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." So God destroyed Pharaoh, He destroyed Egypt, and He brought out His people to as a demonstration of His power, to show forth His mighty power. And there is tremendous power as far as God's wrath is concerned. In Psalm 90, there's a statement made in verse 11, which says, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger?" And that's referring to the wrath of God, the anger of God, who he is angry towards all those that are in their sins, that are under His wrath. And that anger and that wrath of God is going to be demonstrated. It's going to be shown when mankind stands before Him on the day of judgment and then is cast into hell. Eternally, forevermore, man will be thrown away, cast away out of God's sight, and God will pour out His eternal anger upon the sinner in hell forevermore. And it will be a tremendous display of the power of God. Look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 in chapter 1. And we're familiar with these verses, but there's something here I just noticed in verses 8 and 9 of 2 Thessalonians 1. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. See, God is going to display His power in condemning man in hell eternally. And what a tremendous and incredible thing that is, that God intends to cause man to suffer in hell eternally, and He is going to make sure it happens. And He can make sure it happens, because remember, He does not faint nor grow weary. His power is constant. And so if He has made a statement that man will suffer forever in hell, that's exactly what is going to happen. God will measure the cup of the wrath that each sinner must drink for due to their sins and their rebellion against God. And God will pour out the affliction, the punishment, the suffering necessary upon the sinner in hell continually into eternity. And that is going to demonstrate the tremendous power of God. But we also know that God is a God of mercy, and God's mercy teaches us of His power. In Luke, let me see if I can get this verse. I have it written down. I don't want to go to the wrong verse, like some people. Luke chapter 5, verse 24. Come on, I've done that too. We've all done that. Luke chapter 5, verse, not as much as Robert, but we've all done that. Luke chapter 5, verse 24. Okay. Says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. See, Christ has power to forgive as well as power to condemn. Or also look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106 and in verse 7, it says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. See, God, in his salvation plan, whether He saves or whether He condemns, it is a demonstration of His mighty power. And God is very jealous of the fact that He is in total control of who becomes saved and who does not become saved. God is displaying His power in this way. Well, let's go back to Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40. And look at verse 29, where it says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. God giveth power. Now, when we think about giving power, we have examples of PECO in our local area, right? It's an energy company, and we are connected to PECO. They give us power so we can run our lights and all of our electronics, and we know that this is how things operate in the world. We must be connected to a power source. Now, the truth is, what the Bible teaches is that man in his creation was connected to a power source spiritually. When he was formed, he was created perfect. He was good. There was no sin in him. He was connected to God, as God created Adam and Eve. They had access to all the power of God. Everything that God possessed, Adam and Eve had access to. And they had communion with God. But then Adam and Eve sinned, and they were distanced from God. They were separated from God. Sin separates us from God. It removes God from us. And so Adam and Eve sin, and they enter into darkness. They enter into spiritual darkness, and that's the condition of mankind ever since. That's the language of the Bible. We all sit in darkness because we are not saved. We have no relationship to God. We have spiritual darkness that is upon the face of the earth. When we become saved, Jesus, the light of the world, enlightens our darkness. But until that point, we are in darkness, and there has been this cutting off of power. Just like if you don't pay your bill. Well, this is a poor example, but if you don't pay your bill, it's within PICO's power to cut you off. They just simply turn a switch, and you don't have power anymore in your house. And so you're not going to be able to have the lights on. Your house is going to be a darkened house. And that's what sin has done. It has cut us off from the power of God that we no longer have access to. And so God, who is full of all power and might, is saying here that He giveth power. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. So these are just pictures God is using, words God is using to teach us that we need to have a connection with Him. We need to once again be in union with Him. We need to become one with Him. And that can only be done through the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that it says He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He doesn't give power to the strong. He doesn't give power to those that are thinking that everything is all right with them, and they have no need of God. They have no need of His salvation plan. They have no need of someone telling them what to do as far as their life is concerned. They'll run their own life. They're in total control of their destiny. They're the ones who are going to decide how they're going to live and what they're going to do. And that's how the vast majority of men are in the world. They have this idea that they're strong. They have this idea that they have to be a man, and a man is proud, and a man is strong, and a man makes his own decisions. And yet God says, well, He will resist the proud, and He'll give none of His strength to someone who thinks that they're strong in themselves, who thinks that they have no need of God, but He comes to those that are cast down, to those that are weak, to those that are in trouble, to those that are in distress. He comes to those that realize they have no might. They have no might. Let me ask you something. Why do we need the power of God? Why do we need the might of God? Well, doesn't God tell us to keep His commandments? Doesn't He tell us to keep His commandments? Doesn't He tell us to repent of our sins? Now, if you want to know if you're weak or not, let me ask you, how are you doing as far as the commandments of God? How are you doing as far as that sin weakness that's in your life that you continually are falling into? Why are you continually falling into it? Why aren't you obeying God? Why can't you keep His commandments? Well, it could be that you're not saved. That's a real possibility. But it's the answer is due to weakness. Due to weakness. Weakness. I don't have the strength. Like, no matter what it is, just think about it. Think about it. The alcoholic, he goes to the drink. The person who smokes goes to the cigarette. The drug addict goes to the drugs. Or whatever sin it might be. The person who can't stop sinning in their mind. The person who can't stop eating, even though they want to have a better diet. There is weakness. There is weakness within man that God is saying He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. You see, after we've lived the Christian life and we realize that God is telling us, live according to my commandments. And as we do so, as we try to do so, we fall into sin. And we fall into sin. And we're realizing something, especially as it goes on for a period of time. I can't do it. I can't do it. I am weak. I have no strength in me to obey, to keep these commandments. I cannot repent satisfactorily according to the commandment of God. And you see, the answer is God has to bring us to the point where we realize we are weak. And to realize that means we know we can't do it. Turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. And let's read verse 3 and next couple of verses. It says in verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And that's what Isaiah 40, verse 29 is saying. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. God is referring to this condition. "Consider the Lord Jesus, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." That's a strange statement. That's a strange statement. Why is God telling us that? You know, here's a little encouragement for somebody who has been fallen into sin. Now, normally we point out how it really gives evidence that you may not be a child of God, and that's true. But God also, He also is the one in control of who can turn away from a sin and who will struggle with a sin for a little longer, because the strength to turn from sin comes from God. And God is saying here to believers, I believe, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." You're putting forth effort in your life. You're trying not to sin. You're trying to do things His way. But, you know, you haven't tried as hard as you could. You haven't resisted unto blood as the Lord Jesus Christ did. So there's still, you're not really putting forth tremendous effort. But look at verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." You know, God sometimes chastens by not giving victory over a sin. He sometimes chastens by not giving victory over a sin, because if God's Spirit is within someone, they desire to do the will of God. And that desire comes from the heart. And when they sin, they're troubled. They're troubled. And when they sin and they've tried to resist this sin, and this sin has continued in their life, they become more and more troubled. It's really a chastisement. It is really a chastisement where it gets to the point where they are so sick and tired of this sin, it makes them miserable. Isn't there a chastisement in being miserable? When we call it, "Why are you miserable?" "Well, I did something that didn't please the Lord." The world doesn't understand that. But a believer understands that, or one God is dealing with and drawing. And so He's encouraging us here. Look, there's no excuse for sin. But if sin is in your life, it could be that I'm chastising you with this. And actually, I'm going to, through this, give you a hatred for that sin and make you to despise that sin. And so it also brings us to the point where we realize that we cannot of ourselves gain the victory over the sin. It shows us our weakness. It shows us our weakness. It shows us we have no might. We have no strength. And that's good. That's good. Because He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. And you see, I think a child of God, a believer who gets to that point, can begin to pray. Can begin to pray, Lord, give me thy strength. Turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And look at verse 16. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. See, there were crying out for strength. Give me thy strength. You know, the power of God is a huge doctrine in the Bible. It's a major doctrine in the Bible. Just think of the verses. And let's look at some of them. Look at Psalm 46. And I'm sure all of you could add more verses to this. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Or the verse that Robert read earlier today that he did find and locate. In Isaiah 12, verse 2, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And, well, I like doing this. Let's look at a few more. Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And read verse 13. I can do all things through my own effort. No, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's how we do things. That's how we perform the doing of it that Philippians talks about. That's how there can be repentance and there can be a godly life and a life that is honoring to God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians 3, verse 16, this is another wonderful verse. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. See how God is pointing that out. He would grant you. God has to give it. He has to impart it to his people, to be strengthened with might. Now, when we're talking about might or strength, that is Christ, and that is God himself. And to be strengthened with the strength of God. Or look at Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His might. That is the strength of a Christian. That is the strength of a believer. It's never us. It's never what we can muster up. And in fact, God delights in using the weak things of the world, the foolish things of the world, doesn't he? Remember in 1 Corinthians, he tells us that he uses the beggarly elements. He brings the gospel to those that are not the great people of the earth. They're not the mighty ones. They're not the movie stars or athletes or anything like that. They're the plain people. And God delights to do this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says in verse 9, And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And that's the point. That's the point God is giving to us again and again. That if there is a problem in our life as far as sin goes, and we've been struggling against it, then we've been trying to use our own power to turn from it. And we need to turn to God. And we need to just admit and confess, God, I cannot overcome this particular sin. I cannot gain victory over this. This thing has beaten me, da-da-da, so many years, and will continue to do so. I'm going to fall unless you strengthen me. In the inner man, strengthen me with might in my soul. And now here's a very encouraging verse. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 16. And look at verse 9. And the situation is Asa was a king who was not going to God. He had a problem. He had a situation where he needed help, and he turned to another source than God. And so God is correcting him, and as part of that, well, let's read from verse 7 in 2 Chronicles 16. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, and this is the verse I want to look at, throughout the whole earth. So he's not going to miss anything. God isn't going to miss anything. It's the whole earth. God is searching the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And well, you know, you might get a little dejected on that last point, whose heart is perfect towards him. But remember, when we become saved, we receive a new resurrected soul, a perfect heart. So God is saying here that he goes out into the world with his infinite ability to know all things, and he searches every nook and cranny of the earth, especially where his people are, and he knows each one of his people, and he's doing so with the purpose in mind to demonstrate his power on their behalf for Christ's sake. So he's going to come into Philadelphia area. I'm sure there's believers here. And he's looking at your home life, and he's looking at your work life, and he's looking at all the areas involved in your life, all the places you go, all the people you meet, and he is desirous to show himself strong on your behalf. And so he will. And so he will, because he will show himself strong in the life of his people. And so his people will pray to him. And this is a good prayer to make. Dear Lord, and we can say, here is a situation that's going on in my life. I beseech you, could you come and show yourself strong? Of course, it doesn't mean the doors are going to burst open with a mighty wind and the chariots of God are going to come down from heaven. God works subtly. He works in situations. He is the God who orchestrates all events. He's a God who opens doors and closes doors. He's a God who can work in the circumstances of our life in order to demonstrate his power. And he does this on the behalf of his people. And so here we are. And, of course, what would we pray to God? In what way would we want him to be strong? Oh, Father, could it be that you would have mercy? Have mercy upon this one and that one. Have mercy upon those around me. Or allow me to live a good and godly example where I'm at, wherever I'm at in this world. And there's many things that we can go to God and pray and beseech him that he would help us. And, of course, there's also our sin. And we can go and say, show thyself strong, O Lord. Show thyself strong because I've had it. I've had it. I am weak. I have no might and no power and no strength. And God delights to do so. Let's go back to Isaiah 40. In verse 29, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. In Isaiah 12, 2, the Lord Jehovah is my strength. He gives strength. Even in verse 30, the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. What we were saying earlier about the strength within the legs of man, it has its limitations. And there does come the point when even the young will falter. But in verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, how can that be? Have you ever experienced that where you've run? And this is talking to believers. He giveth power. He increases strength. The Lord Jehovah becomes our strength and our song. He is within us. The power of God is within. But does that mean we can now run as fast as we want and as long as we want? We're not going to tire? No. He's telling us, though, that we do now have access to the one who is never weary, to the one who does not faint. See, what belongs to God, the believers now can claim, and we can call upon God, and we can beseech Him for this strength and for this might. And there is some spiritual applications here that maybe we can look at another time. But the thing is that there's no need for any one of God's people. There's no need at all for them to continue living a life of weakness, of living a life of failure, of living a life where they are under the dominion of sin in any way, because there is power and there is strength in the Lord Jehovah. Let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word that communicates to us so many blessings and so many truths. And Father, we come to You as those that have no strength in themselves. And we pray that You would bless us, that You would open up doors for us as far as ministering the gospel and sharing Your Word with others. And may You use Your Word in each one of our lives today. Help us as we now have fellowship with one another. May everything we do be pleasing in Your sight and be in accordance with Your Word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.